Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. One of the most loved organizations in our region is getting a new leader. This summer, Tim Mead is taking over as president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. He spent 40 years with the Los Angeles Angels, including the past two decades plus as VP of Communications and an earlier run as assistant general manager. He'll be bringing a 2002 World Series ring east to Cooperstown when he becomes the Hall's seventh president, taking over for Jeff Idelson. Tim Mead, welcome to the Roundtable.
Ian, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity.
So tell us why you were interested in this job after spending basically your whole professional life with the Angels.
Well, I'll tell you, it's a truth of the matter, Ian. It's nothing I actively pursued. Jeff Idelson and I have been friends for 30-plus years and have stayed in touch, and I've long admired and respected just his body of work. But as much as I've respected that, I have a great deal of, tremendous respect for who he is as a person. And Jeff and I talked off and on just about what he does and his role. And I've always looked at it from the standpoint of being with the Angels and an interest in how he goes about things. And we had a conversation in spring training, and he had talked to me a little bit about his decision to resign and kind of pursue other opportunities, and asked me if I might be interested. And we had a really candid conversation, and I thought about it, actually didn't say anything to anybody. Put some pencil to paper for a while. After about 7 days, I called him, and I just said, Jeff, I can't. This is home. And it really is home. It's literally home. And then the Angels being my second family. So that's kind of where that stood, Ian, for a couple of days. And then I received a text message from Jane Clark and asked me if it was possible to talk. And this was a couple of days later. And I reached out and we had a great conversation. Just thanked me for the consideration. Jeff had filled her in on the conversation that he and I had had. And she just asked, she said, I just have a sense that there still might be an opening for she and I to talk. And if that was in fact true, to let her know. And I said, I would appreciate that opportunity. And, you know, probably 7 to 10 days later, I flew to Florida and we met for lunch, had a great conversation. And after I arrived back at the airport, we had a follow-up on the phone, and she asked me if, told me that she'd talked to the committee and was offering me the job.
Just for our listeners, Jane Clark is the chair of the Hall of Fame. So what kind of advice are you getting about the job you're about to take on? Different from what you're doing, although still intensely involved in baseball, I'm sure.
It is, Ian. I'm getting a lot of advice and a lot of input from a lot of people. And I think everybody views the Hall for exactly what it is, as an iconic institution, not just for the game of baseball, but I think in this country. So I think people that work there, the community itself, are fiercely protective and loyal for the Hall. What I'm going to take there is an understanding of learning. I think there's some great people, and I've had the privilege of speaking to a few of them already, and obviously my many conversations with Jeff. But I don't think you can go into anything with predetermined opinions of what you're going to do. I come from 40 years of a team concept and team effort, and I don't think any one individual certainly has all the answers. And as I will tell the staff people when I have the good fortune of meeting them next month, that I have a lot of learning to do. And, even 40 years in the major leagues, I still have a lot of learning to do in this position, and I will until the day I step aside. So I'm excited about it. You've probably heard me say this, but I can't be any more clear about it, that I think we all tend to live our lives, understandably so, and very much the present and looking to the future. But I think in having the privilege and honor of working in Cooperstown, you get to live in the past just a little bit at times as well.
What do you think about winter in upstate New York?
All I can tell you is that my Southern California winter wardrobe will not play well in Cooperstown. So that is something I would tell you, that probably the second most consistent comment that I received outside of congratulations, we're happy for you and all that, was, what about winter? So we're going to find out, because I've been in Southern California since 1969 and haven't had to drive in a lot of snow, but I'll figure it out. And I think I'll probably have some good teachers in that regard too.
You know, everyone counts down to pitchers and catchers, but in New York, we really mean it. We cannot wait for spring training somewhere around like February 1st. We've had enough.
That's what I hear. Now, if you're out here in Southern California, you look forward to going up to Big Bear or Arrowhead and enjoy some snow for a while, and then you can actually drive back and go to dinner at the beach, you know, an hour and a half later. So I know that opportunity won't present itself, and I know I have a lot of adjustments to make, but realistically, I have a lot of adjustments to make, you know, on the personal level, the professional level, the weather, and I'm very much looking forward to that. And, you know, I have my family's blessing to do that, and they will come out periodically, and I'm going to spend as much time coming home to be with them as I can. But I think in baseball, you understand how to master a calendar and how to master a clock very, very well.
Tell us how you feel about leaving the Angels after spending all of these years in that organization. That had to have been a tough decision.
Ian, honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life. It just really is. It's first and foremost, it's the family aspect of things with my family. Second of all, for all the things that I've been through here with the Angels and all the people, I've just told this to Jackie Autry the other day. I've always considered it a kind of a goal of mine to continue serving, obviously, the Autry name and then the Disney name and now Artie, but always representing employees and the people that I cross paths with and the players and continuing kind of their name, representing them through the future. I always thought I would retire as an Angel, and I really did. It was probably a goal, but this is something it comes your way. You're not looking at it, and it's an honor. I think I'm very fortunate to know several of the Hall of Famers, a few of which crossed through our clubhouse through the years, to follow in the footsteps of Jeff Idelson, to work with Jane Clark, to get to know and work with such a distinguished group of professionals that are currently at the Hall. I think it's probably will be a good way to wind it down. As I told somebody the other day, while I'm here with the Angels, I kind of feel like still a son of the organization. I'll probably come back as a cousin, but this will always be home. I've left a lot of emotions and just an awful lot here. But I'm going to give that same effort and those same emotions and that same dedication to Cooperstown that I felt compelled to do here for the last 40 years.
Over here on the East Coast, I don't think we get to see Mike Trout play enough. What's it like seeing someone of his caliber on a daily basis?
Absolutely incredible. I will say this to the folks, and I know there's been a lot of discussion and debate through the years, but as great a player as Mike Trout is, he's an even better person. And I hope that folks are able to take some time and read the stories and watch the social media and see that aspect of him. But Mike does things. He's just one of those once in probably two generation type of players. I know all the comparisons. It will really be fascinating for me as I get to know some of the Hall of Famers to see what their thoughts are in watching him from afar. I think, Ian, we live in a time where everything's debated and we try to compare. I think rather than try to spend so much time and putting numbers and everything to Mike, it's almost like going to a magic show. You know, I used to watch Siegfried and Roy and figure out how did they make those tigers disappear. Well, rather than try to sit there and watch Mike play and compare, I think sometimes you just have to watch the beauty and the art form and the greatness that is Mike Trout. But he is a special individual. He's great for the game. Obviously, his plaque will await him in Cooperstown at some point. But he's just a phenomenal young man, quite honestly. That's the best thing I can say about him.
What about Bellinger across town playing for the Dodgers, who's really come out of relative obscurity to become maybe a rival to Trout in today's game?
Well, I think obviously there's been some stories this week that have talked about that or recently about Cody Bellinger and not just his emergence, but just where he stacks up against the great players in the game. And I've never been one of those people that got caught up in comparing Dodgers and Angels. So I think you're talking about just two players, and Cody Bellinger's great. His dad obviously had a small role and was part of our 2002 club. So I have a fondness for the family, but I think at some point, you know, and I hope Cody Bellinger continues, but I think you have to measure the body of work over the course of time. And hopefully his time lasts for a great stretch. We've watched Mike finish in the top two in MVP balloting six times, and I think that's a pretty good benchmark for others to try to attain.
What's been the difference around the club in the post-Mike Scioscia era? Because he was the longest tenured manager in baseball until through last season.
Well, I think it's just changed. After 19 years, Mike did a phenomenal job for this organization and left his signature. Obviously, our World Series, we had our playoff runs in the early 2000s. But I think more than anything, we have not got caught up in comparing. It's more moving forward. Brad Ausmus is a very, very smart individual, and obviously 18 years playing this game, he just sees things differently. He and Billy Epler have a very special relationship. Brad is analytics-oriented and open-minded. I think he's very much a player manager, so it was just time. I'm not sure that there'll be another manager that manages 19 years in the game the way we're structured today. Mike's a dear friend of ours. It was very emotional to see him leave at the end of the season last year, but he left on his terms, and he's still very supportive of the organization. Called Brad after he got the job, and I know they have a lot of mutual respect for each other. So for us, it's more a change in the guard than anything else.
We're talking to Tim Mead, and he'll be the new president of the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Getting ready to speak with you, Tim, I read that you were born in Athens, Greece. What's the story of your childhood?
Well, I was actually I was born in Athens, Greece, and I was adopted when I was 6 months old. My dad was in the military, and it was just a little bit easier through some of red tape to go over there and adopt in an orphanage. And actually, a year later, they went back and adopted. She wasn't my natural sister, but they adopted my sister as well from that same location. So my dad started in the Army, received a Purple Heart in Korea, and then eventually joined the Air Force. We left Athens, moved to England outside of London for about 2 years, transferred to Tyndall Air Force Base in Arlington, Virginia, and settled in California in 1969. But I'm very proud, and I feel very, very blessed, quite honestly, Ian, that I had the opportunity to come to the United States, that I was picked by two wonderful parents that mean the world to me. I lost my dad when he was 54. Probably doesn't a day go by I don't think of him.
What was your introduction to the game of baseball, moving around like you did?
Well, it was 1968. Our little league team went and watched the Senators and the Yankees at DC Stadium, and I walked through the concourse and the opening, and you saw the most beautiful backyard you could ever imagine. All that green grass and the purity of it, and the Senators uniforms and Frank Howard and Mike Epstein, Camilo Pasquale, Paul Casanova, and I was hooked. I was just absolutely hooked. And it started there, and then my dad, who worked at the Pentagon and then worked at Montgomery Ward's, bought me a glove, and we played catch outside of our apartment building, and it has been a love affair ever since.
So you were a sports journalist in college. You went to Cal Poly. How did you end up hooking on with the Angels?
That's a great story, actually. It's I wrote three letters to the Angels about being an intern and received three rejection letters, actually.
At least they sent the letters.
Just the template letter, just that said, we appreciate your letter of, unfortunately, we have no position openings. However, we wish you well in your future endeavors. The third time I received it, it just said, thank you again for your letter of recent date. As previously stated, we currently have no position openings. And it was probably 2-3 weeks later that an intern, after I received my final letter, that the lone intern that they had here stepped aside for a full-time position, and I got the call. And I've always used that, not that I did anything special, Ian, but I've always said that to college kids. I said it to my own son growing up about not quitting. If there's a goal and something you want to pursue, go after it. And if I did not write that second or third letter to the Angels, then you and I wouldn't be having this conversation, most likely.
Spending all the years that you did in the organization, what did that 0-2 championship and one of the great World Series mean to you and to the organization?
It meant the world. After 42 years, you know, the emotion. Peter Gammons wrote something afterwards, basically succinctly saying that, you know, there's kind of nothing greater than winning than when winning is unexpected. And I think that could be said about the 0-2 club. It didn't have a MVP on it, no World Series experience, no future Hall of Famer. It was the best team I was around, just team. It wasn't the most talented. You know, if you look at the 82 club and we had Reggie and Carew and Freddie Lynn and Donnie Baylor and others. But really what it did, it reinforced to me what you and I both know, and I think everybody, most people in the country know, is there are a lot of things that people could say are more important than sports. For those of us who are sports nuts, it's hard for us to think about them, but there are very few things that can bring a community together like a championship. And, you know, what that did for Orange County, what it really did for Southern California was absolutely phenomenal. For us, we got to stop talking about the curse, because every time we'd get to September or we'd have a tough loss in 82 and 86 postseason, it was always the Angels' curse. We got to be part of history, and it kind of put us on a map of respectability. For me personally, I always thought that I would stand on the field and get emotional, but I took the opportunity to, after we did the "We're Going to Disneyland" commercial shoot that we had to do, I stood on the field and I looked around and I tried to grasp as much as I could the impact of 43,000 people all cheering for one thing, and every problem anybody in that stand, in those stands had in that night, they were put on the shelf to really come together and enjoy something special. To go in that clubhouse, to go into the training room and some of our players calling players from the past to share that World Series with them, it's just something you can't explain. And to leave here, it would have been very difficult to leave here without ever having been to a World Series. Just would have been. But to take that ring, I look at that ring as representative of all the players that I worked with, but even more importantly, Ian, all the people I've worked with. And they're all in that ring, whether they were there in 2002 or not. And it's a special time. And, you know, when the Rangers win their first one, and, you know, eventually in the other clubs that haven't, they'll have the opportunity to enjoy what those of us that were here did. And it stays with you for the rest of your life.
Last thing, do you expect some of the people from that era, namely Barry Bonds, who played out of his mind in that World Series, even as you won in 7, to eventually join you in Cooperstown? I mean, what are we going to do with the steroid era?
You know, for me, as I get to Cooperstown and have conversations with folks on the committees and Hall of Famers, I know what I have to learn, and the opinions and thought processes of others are going to be part of that. So I think probably until I establish myself and have a lot of conversations, you know, you can have your opinions from afar, but I'm going to be in a different position now, and it's probably going to be a little bit more prudent for me to study that more and before I give you a firm answer. And I'm not trying to be evasive. That's really what I've told my family, what I've told my best friends, because I've done my reading on an annual basis. We all read about it when the voting period comes up. But, you know, I just want to see – I want to absorb the opinions and thoughts of a lot of people first and then formulate my own opinion.
Well, let's count that as a to be continued. I hope we can continue the discussion once you're settled in the job, and it'll be great to have you in town. Tim Mead is the incoming president of the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown, and he'll be leaving the Angels for that new position this summer. Tim, thank you so much for taking all this time, and we're excited to have you in our listening area.
Ian, I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to staying in touch with you.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.